Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I believe Khalil Shakir will emerge as the Bills' clear-cut number one wide receiver. He's an excellent run-after-catch player. He's a great route runner as well. He played 92% of his snaps in the slot last season. He might shift more outside this year with the departures of both Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. But with Curtis Samuel now week-to-week with a toe injury, to me that only emboldens my stance that it will be Khalil Shakir that ends up leading Bills' wide receivers in catches and yards. He will be a value this season in fantasy football.
Field Yates of ESPN. Fantasy season. This is the most popular fantasy draft weekend coming up. It's Joe DiBiase and Nate Geary. Jeremy White is off today. Does that feel like a pretty safe take right now about Shakir? That right now he is the pick to lead their wide receivers and targets and catches and yards.
I think so, yeah.
Is Coleman even... I heard Shop and Bulldog going back and forth. This is one thing I wanted to get to today about Coleman and camp and the lead up to the start of the year, and kind of the question of is he having a good camp? Is he having a promising, you know, couple of weeks, months before the start of the year? And I see this every day. Like, there are tweets. Yesterday was Alec Brasky, who tweeted out that he won a couple of one-on-ones against Kyer Elam, and there was a bunch of reaction to that. But then there was reaction to his drop against Pittsburgh on Saturday, which, by the way, where did you land on that? He said it was a drop.
It was a drop.
I think it was a drop. It was not the perfect throw, but he should catch that football. So I don't know where to set my expectations on Coleman, because I feel like right now, for me, they're not really that high. If everybody was healthy, and I know Samuel is currently not healthy, but if everybody was healthy, isn't his role being split between him and Mac Hollins right now?
I would say probably, yeah.
So how much am I really expecting to get in terms of production if that's the case? Like 500 yards?
It could
70 targets.
But like that could evolve as the season goes on.
Okay.
And if it does, that changes things a little bit. But I don't know. I would like to think that it's probably right that Mac Collins cuts a little bit into Keon Coleman's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's probably a world where they're on the field together, too. Like, it doesn't just have to be one or the other.
That's tough, though. Like, it would be some. And week one, I mean, it might be all. Like, those two will be on the field together every time they're in 11 personnel. Yeah, if there's no Samuel. But it's just, it's going to be, you know, I wonder how much opportunity there will be for him given that, one, he's a rookie. And I think the misnomer about the Bills, I think there is a misnomer about the Bills, about them and rookies. If you're a rookie that has proven to be pro-ready and understand scheme and, you know, look like a pro throughout the offseason, they'll put you right in. Kincaid went right in. Osiris Torrance went right in. Tremaine Edmonds went right in. Tre'Davious White. There's a bunch of examples throughout time. The Bills will go to you if they think you're reliable. And in Coleman's case, I don't know, the messaging has been a little mixed back and forth on that front. And you are expecting that the Bills are going to play a good amount of 12 personnel. Kincaid and Knox are going to play on the field together a lot, I think. Shakir is going to, I mean, we just had Field Yates, that clip, predicting that he'll lead them in catches, and I think he's going to be on the field a ton, and Samuel has like his own chapter of the playbook, maybe, and they love Mac Hollins. Coleman, he's going to be a factor, of course, but I just don't know. I don't know that I want to predict that he's going to have this massive role, this big role. And I've got this fantasy draft tonight. That's what I wanted to get to. Right now, as you're entering your league drafts this weekend and next weekend, which I know a lot of fans will be, Coleman right now, by average draft position, is the top Bills receiver off the board.
And that's and dynasty I just, I can't, or redrafts?
Redrafts. And I just, I can't get there.
I'm not doing that.
I can't get there at all. I can't. He's one of the top rookies off the board. I can't even do that. Ladd McConkey would be a pick for me above him, because I've got him maybe being the number one for Justin Herbert. And Coleman, he has the potential, I think, to be that, but I'm not predicting that he's going to be that right out of the gates. Right, like right now, let's try to figure out like what's their target share going to be. Josh Allen last year, how many, actually, should I change this? Allen last year pass attempts, he had 579. Do you think it'll be relatively the same? Or do we think he's coming way down off that number? That was, by the way, no, he's had one season with more than that. He had 646 in 2021. But 579 last year, 567 the year before that. You think he'll be around the same, or do you think he'll come down? I mean, running the ball more.
I think he'll be right around the same.
Okay. Let's say 575 targets.
Okay.
All right, he's going to throw the ball 575 times. What's Kincaid's number?
115.
Okay.
120.
All right, he's first. Is Shakir second?
So if you're saying 575, right? That's
575.
Number?
So 115 to Kincaid. Shakir?
So that's 460 targets left. Okay. 90.
90. Okay. I'm at 205. Who's after that? Samuel's so tough for this right now, I know. Let's say he plays week one. He's a little bit limited.
How about 75?
Though.
I think it'll be more than that. I like him to match Shakir. 90.
90 for Samuel?
Yep.
I'm in. I like it. He had 97 with Joe Brady in 2020, and he was the number three receiver.
So that leaves, by the way, that leaves 280 targets left.
Okay. What is Dawson Knox going to get?
40.
Okay. James Cook.
50.
All right, I'll add 10 more. James Cook?
What did he have last year?
Good question. James Cook last year
had 40.
And remember,
something?
he was more a part of the passing offense when Brady was the coordinator.
Yeah.
He ended up with 54.
Let's run it back with 55.
Okay. I'm at 400 already.
Exactly 400. We got 175 left.
175 left. Okay. Who, I mean, should we just put like 30 in for their backup running backs? Although I think.
Yes.
I think Ray Davis is going to be their back on third and long.
Let's put 35 in there.
What did Latavius Murray have last year? Latavius Murray had 22. And then Ty Johnson, you want to put 30?
30.
30? Okay. 30 for all the backup running backs.
Okay.
What is Mac Hollins going to get? Mac Hollins, who he's very back and forth. Last
50.
Year, he had like 30 targets. The year before that, he had 90.
50.
50 targets for Mac Hollins. Okay. I'm at 480.
Yeah, we got 95 targets left.
But there's going to be, you know, 10 targets here to Shavers and 5 targets here.
So to everybody Morris, else, let's say 35 for everybody else.
Yeah, this is good. Like, let me real quick. I want to see like what that number is. Like miscellaneous targets, almost, if I could qualify them as that. Last year for the Bills, those kind of those miscellaneous targets, what did they look like? Deontay Hardy had 21 targets last year. Ty Johnson had 7. Quentin Morris had 3. Really? It was only 3 targets for Quentin Morris all year. Damian Harris had 2. Reggie Gilliam had 1. All right, 30. I'm at 5'10".
Yeah, so that means you got like 60 targets.
60 targets left over for Keon Coleman?
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss anybody? That's it, right?
That's it.
How's that going to feel if he gets 60 targets?
Probably about right.
Man, that's not much, though.
No.
That is... For me, like, I think that's acceptable. I am not that high on Coleman. That's where I'm kind of getting to here. By the way, that's Gabe Davis's rookie season. Gabe Davis had 62 targets year one. I think where I'm kind of getting to on all this is I'm not that high on Coleman. I just really never have been. And I've tried to work myself to be in a more optimistic place about him because the Bills drafted him and you just want to assume that, oh, it's going to go horribly. But, you know, I don't know what need he's really filling for them. Jeremy mentioned that as a point earlier in the week that, like, Xavier Worthy, when the Bills were on the clock, like, they didn't, for what they needed, Worthy wasn't really it because he does a lot of the same things that Curtis Samuel does, and he does a lot of the same things even that Shakir does and lines up in some of those similar spots. Okay. The one thing that a Worthy would have satisfied for the Bills in terms of a need is the thing they went into the offseason talking about, which was a need for explosive plays. And Coleman, it is clearly what they wanted in terms of a style of player. What need is he really satisfying for them, though? And that is what I'm trying to find out, because right now I know for sure he is great at one thing. There's one thing he is great at. That dude can jump up in the air and he could pluck the ball out of midair. But everything else, I feel like I have questions about. I have questions if he can get open on the outside. I have questions if he can get open in the red zone. Joe Marino was bringing up concerns about that last week from Locked On Bills on our show and also on his podcast, that this dude had one-on-one coverage in the first preseason game in the red zone, and the corner had outside leverage and Coleman had inside leverage, and you should get open on that every single time, and he didn't get open. And what is that? That's the red zone. That's the red zone. That's the thing he's supposed to help satisfy a need of, right? It's preseason pledge. There has to be an element there of preseason pledge. You don't want to write a guy off in the preseason, especially his first preseason. But I am trying to figure out, the Bills drafted him because he satisfies a need at wide receiver, but what need is he satisfying other than just he plays wide receiver? And that's what I'm still trying to figure out. But I don't want to just write him off. And if he gets 60 targets, that's Gabe Davis's rookie year. That's 62 targets, 35 catches, 599 yards, and 7 touchdowns. If he has that year, I think we'll probably, yeah, you're probably right. We'll be thinking, all right, fine. Gabe Davis's rookie year. Snap count, by the way, on that, if you're wondering, because it was 60 targets and 7 touchdowns. Davis played 73% of snaps as a rookie.
That's a lot.
There were injuries that year, right? John Brown maybe was like in and out.
Yeah,
73% of snap counts.
That's a lot for him.
Yeah, I mean he always played a lot, but that was a big number for especially a fourth round rookie. 803-0550 is the phone number. Chet on a cell phone's got a thought on this. What's up, Chet?
After listening to you guys, you make me even more terrified of this season. If Coleman's not good, I can't imagine what this wide receiver corps is going to look like. I mean, we at GR keep talking about this Mac Hollins. The guy had 18 catches last year. The guy hasn't had more than 20 catches but 1 year in his entire career. If he's our number four, we're in trouble, especially if Coleman's not the real deal.
Well, that brings it. Thanks, Jeff, for the call. Like, Nate, I'll ask you this, because he's kind of getting to this. Does Coleman have to be great or have to be even really good for them? If if there's a little bit of a panicky there from the caller of, hey, if Coleman's not good, like, they're in serious trouble. Does that have to be true? If Coleman has a modest rookie year, can they still achieve what they want to achieve on offense?
They would need someone has to break out. Probably two players have to break out.
Is Kincaid breaking out enough? That would be my question. Is if Coleman has a modest rookie year, and I agree with the caller, like Matt Collins, like he's going to play and he's going to do a lot of the dirty work and he is going to block and he's going to run clear out routes and he's going to catch a few passes here and there. He might even be a little bit of a downfield threat. But you're right. Like 1 year of his career, he's had more than 20 catches. He's not someone you want to rely upon for constant production in the receiving game. But he's going to be on the field. So if he's out there doing all that and Coleman is a modest rookie, which is a very realistic scenario, who are you looking at? You're looking at, I mean, to be the breakout candidate, I mean, Kincaid. And I wonder, you know, that could be enough. It really could be. That needs to be said. Like Coleman, that's why I think I would answer the question. I don't think Coleman has to be great for the Bills to even be like a top five offense in the league. You're just going to need everything else to work. You're going to need everything else to work. You can't miss on Shakir and Samuel being big parts of the passing offense. You can't miss on Kincaid's got to break out. He has to break out.
I think that's right that he does have to break out. I don't think that is. I think I have to silo that conversation about him and the wide receiver room. I think that he has to break out, but I don't think that because I don't think saying he has to break out and if he breaks out that they don't need another receiver to break out.
Right.
I think they need both.
Isn't Shakir going to just based on getting more targets?
I think that's where we're
like
assuming.
I don't know if Shakir's gonna. Shakir to me is not gonna be like a star receiver in the league. Kincaid might be that at his position. In fact, I think he will. I'm drafting him in fantasy more than any other Bill. In fact, I think I'm drafting more Kincaid than any other player in the league in these drafts that I'm doing so far. So I think Kincaid will do that, and I think, you know, yeah, I think I like Samuel enough and Shakir enough that I think that could be enough. Coleman, my expectations are not that high. It's not a player I liked pre-draft. It's a player that I've kind of been up and down with in the offseason. There have been some moments where he's looked really good, and then there have seen moments like when he got jab-stepped by Jamarcus Ingram and couldn't get away from him in press coverage at drills and at St. John Fisher. And I can't get that out of my mind. You're bigger by 30 pounds than Jamarcus Ingram. How are you not getting away from him at the line of scrimmage? How is he almost putting you on the ground? It's a one-on-one drill. You don't want to take a lot from those. On either end, positive or negative. Preseason pledge. We need games. We need real games.
We've spent a lot of time talking about a potential quarterback trade. And I just wonder if we're not talking enough about, and I said that there's probably three players. I would say I'm feeling more confident today than maybe I felt at all during this like preseason / training camp that a receiver that will make their 53-man roster is not on it. I'm not on the roster right now.
And you don't mean, I don't think by saying that, like Brandon Ayuk.
No.
Or CeeDee Lamb, one of these monster trades.
So I just listed on Twitter, I listed a couple of names. I mentioned Robert Woods a little while ago.
Okay.
I don't think Robert Woods is really an option. His cap number is a little too high.
Okay. Isn't he also kind of a similar role? I don't know how specific I want to get here.
Shakir?
To Shakir? At this point in his career, right? Like, I can't imagine he's very fast anymore. Robert Woods.
No. I mean, knee injuries haven't helped him. There's really one name that I think is like my guy. That if they could find a way to get their hands on him, that it would be a home run because I think he's something they don't have. It's Tutu Atwell.
Okay.
He's the fourth receiver right now in L.A. They re-signed DeMarcus Robinson.
Yep, and he played late in that year over Atwell last year.
Tutu Atwell started the season. As one of the,
ball.
Like, he became fantasy darling.
There was the first half of the year he was, yes.
And then DeMarcus Robinson came on towards the end of last year. And so obviously Nacua also broke out. So he took a little bit of a backseat.
Don't I kind of already have Tutu Atwell with KJ Hamler?
Yeah, but
how different are they?
One's good, one hasn't played.
Is he good?
I think Tutu Atwell's got a little bit of upside. On his rookie deal.
Yeah, I mean,
KJ Hamler was a...
To your point, those first 4 weeks were really good for Atwell.
Yes.
Really good. Like
he flashed
a little. He had 8 targets, 9 targets, 9 targets, 9 targets, and he had decent production in every game, including one game where he had 119 yards, another was 77.
Tutu Atwell, regardless of whether he's traded, will be on an NFL roster. KJ Hamler won't. That's the biggest difference to me.
Yeah.
He's a legitimate number 4 wide receiver guy, and they don't have that guy right now. They don't really have that guy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
He would be like, and he's 1 year left on a rookie deal. His cap hits like $1.5 million. Like, yep. That's the kind of guy you're looking at. What, Treylon Burks? That's reclamation.
Jahan Dotson. Dotson is falling out of favor in Washington.
Yes,
they're playing Olamide Zaccheaus above him.
That would be hot.
That would be a really
hot.
I like that player a lot.
Alec Pierce. He's got some redundancy. He's Mac Collins.
But what we're talking about is it's the bargain bin shopping that we've talked about for quarterbacks, but you're just doing it at receiver. And the Bills have kind of already showed us that they are looking in this department, aren't they? They worked out Corey Davis week ago.
They did.
Is that meaningful? Working out Corey Davis? Doesn't that just say that you're still looking at that position?
Yeah.
You might be, and that's not even to say they don't like Tyrell Shavers, or they don't like KJ Hamler, or they don't like, you know, Andy Isabella. But it would mean that they are still searching, that they are not satisfied, that they can see themselves adding again at wide receiver. They have had injuries. I think there are, you know, here's another one for you. Isaiah Hodgins. A return there. They have Neighbors, Wendell Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, Darius Slayton, Allen Robinson, Isaiah McKenzie, all listed above him. He's the number 7 receiver right now with the Giants. He is not fast, but he plays on the outside, right? And aren't they looking for depth in that department? Isn't he kind of a very poor man's version of Keon Coleman?
Yep. And so, they know him.
And they know him. So maybe there's an Isaiah Hodgins reunion in the future. I'm looking at some other, you know, receiving depth charts right now and who's kind of really far down the list that could become available, could be poached. And, like, there's not much. How about, no, that's pretty much it. I think we kind of went through the names.
Yeah.
I think we kind of...
D'Ami Brown? One of those Washington receivers is going to... They're going to move, right?
Do you want to test out Kadarius Toney?
No, I don't. I do not.
That usually is a net negative.
I do not want to.
I think when he ends up playing... By the way, Houston is not just Robert Woods. John Mechie. Second round pick of a couple years ago. And they have been reportedly showcasing him throughout training camp. I don't know. That's another slot. That's a slot only guy. If I'm right on that. So he's someone I would not want to go near, but just another name to mention here. 803-0550, let's go to Matt in Buffalo. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you guys doing? Just wanted to go back really quick to the Keon Coleman stuff. Like, how would we feel if, let's say, we did take, you know, a Brian Thomas, right, at that player profile, and then obviously with Philly and then Jaguars taking him right after. I know, obviously, we were, like, really upset about. We thought we should have been a little bit more aggressive with getting your guy if you had a guy, but I think they're really trusting in the Joe Brady system this year, so they thought they could put somebody else in there. But, like, my fear is, you know, what happens if, you know, Keon Coleman goes out and he starts to look like Kelvin Benjamin or, like, DJ Chark 2.0? And that's kind of my fear with a little bit of that size and maybe not utilizing it the right way. But I guess my question to you guys is, what if we did? What if we did move up and let's say we were aggressive and got Brian Thomas on this roster? Do we feel, with by all accounts, what's coming out of the camp from them with him developing pretty much on schedule for a rookie? I mean, he looks to be probably something very good for them. Like, do we feel better if we had Brian Thomas in the Keon Coleman draft pick with, you know, Dalton Kincaid, Shakir? I think I would feel a little bit better about a guy like that because of the skill set, just because, you know, playing in, you know, LSU, playing with those guys, you know, playing with neighbors. There's a little bit more proven ability there, and obviously he has the playmaking ability. He had some size on him, and I just feel, I know people were talking about is he committed to football or not, kind of during that whole process, but even neighbors was talking like this guy is a football guy through and through. I mean, I guess, do you guys feel that with a Joe Brady offense, that if we had Brian Thomas, do we feel a little bit better about that moving forward?
Yeah, it's a good question because he was a name we spent 3 months on before the draft. And, you know, Nate, I'll let you speak for yourself on this. I would feel a lot better. And a big reason why is Thomas, to me, is different. Thomas is, there's the Jacob Gibbs tweeted this out yesterday. Every route that Thomas is running the preseason, and Thomas is just running by people. He's probably really unpolished. Maybe Coleman is too. But Thomas is running by people. And he's big and can do things with the ball in his hands too. I don't know that the Bills don't, to me, have a guy like Brian Thomas in their room. And Coleman, I guess my worry is that he'll become redundant. I'm hoping, I've got my fingers crossed what the Bills have planned for him, which Brandon Bean said right after they drafted him, and he's practiced at this a lot throughout training camp, which is be that big X receiver, Gabe Davis replacement guy, big plays down the field, even if he's covered because he's going to go up and jump, catch it. That's the plan for Coleman. My concern would be there were a lot of the film people after the draft and other number people too that kind of were in concert thinking this guy really might be a good player, but he's a big slot. You know, Puka Nacua was someone that thought, like, someone compared him to Puka Nacua. Like, that's the high end for Keon Coleman. And that's redundant. I don't need a big slot. So I've got my fingers crossed the Bills are right, that that's not what he is.
Yeah.
That he's going to be more than that. Because the people that evaluated him after the draft that said that's what he's going to be really good at, That's my concern, because that's redundant. What Brian Thomas does isn't redundant. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm trying not to be down on Coleman, though, because there really isn't, you know, there's a couple of, he's 0 for 3 in red zone targets, or end zone targets in the preseason. I guess that would be the arrow down. Otherwise, though, he's made nice plays at camp. Again, there was tweets yesterday that he was dominating one-on-ones against Keon Coleman and Jamarcus Ingram. So I've seen some of that. I've seen some of the other side. He's kind of had, to me, an up-and-down offseason. But not like, oh, this guy's a bum.
I think if he had a big preseason performance, everyone would feel better.
I agree.
And I don't think it has anything to do, it's not indicative of what he'll do in the regular
season. Right, well, forget it week one anyway. And we don't even know if he's going to play Saturday. If you're on hold, stay there. Brad, Zach, we'll get to you right when we come back. On Coleman and what need he's going to fill for the Bills this year, and really what the volume's going to look like. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
If you're so into the NFL, you know your Raiders, I can tell right here. How are you feeling with the team this year?
We're not going to the Super Bowl. I already know it.
We got a realistic Raiders fan here. This is odd. This is the first interview I've ever had like this. The Super Bowl chances are not good, but what is it going to take for the Raiders to have a successful season, you think?
Not to get arrested.
Not to get what?
Arrested.
Arrested?
I think he's going to be all right. It sounds like he might be like 12 years old.
Feels like he's.
I don't know if he meant,
been a Raiders fan
himself.
Someone else on the team getting arrested?
Huh.
Takes, baby.
Are they the worst quarterback situation in the AFC?
Yeah. Yeah. Who has worse? Who would even be close to worse?
Pittsburgh?
Would you rather be Pittsburgh or
Vegas right now?
Well, I think that's the wrong question. I think the right question is not who you'd rather be.
Okay.
But if Gardner Minshew was in Pittsburgh, would he be far and away the best quarterback?
Would he
be starting?
Yes. Yes, he would.
So
I like Minshew. Like, he is what he is. I'm not saying he's great, but I like Minshew. Let me try the question a different way. Who gets to a franchise quarterback first? Raiders or Steelers?
Steelers.
See, I'd say Raiders. Steelers will never. I don't think the Steelers will ever be bad enough to pick high enough. They're gonna have to get lucky. The Raiders could be. Couldn't the Raiders be like a 4-win team and pick in third this coming draft?
Their defense is
Pittsburgh,
really good.
Pittsburgh. If the theory on Pittsburgh is as long as Tomlin's there, they're gonna win their 9-10 games every single year. Well, guess what? That means every year they're gonna be picking like 18th, and you're gonna be drafting your Kenny Picketts in the first round,
but,
or you're going to be going for your patchwork Russell Wilson types. What's their plan to get a top quarterback in Pittsburgh? What's the path? Hope Dak Prescott hits free agency?
He might.
He really might.
He probably will.
So that's their plan? It's not a bad plan if they think they could pull that off, but you better hope Dak becomes available, because guys like Dak, guys as good as Dak, and Dak's fine. Like I think he's great. I don't think he's elite.
He's a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
But.
Like, guys of that caliber don't become available all that often.
No. Nope.
So you better hope you get him, because if you don't, then you're going to have to keep taking swings at your cheap Russell Wilson types,
yeah,
or you're going to have to take swings at late first round picks. Or, and this could actually be what ends up happening, is the Tomlin pixie dust that every year he sprinkles over his team that gets them to 9 wins is actually going to stop happening. And they're going to be bad. They're going to have a year where with Tomlin, I know, it's never happened before, but they're going to have a year where they win like 5 games. And then they take their swing. Who's their quarterback? 1 year from today, who's their quarterback? It's not on the roster.
Not on the roster.
Is it Prescott? Is it a rookie? Again, like, I just, Vegas, I could see being so bad that they're just going to draft a guy. And the Steelers, like, I don't know where they go. They're trying to be as good as they can be every year. And Tomlin will get your games. And Wilson, I guess, is going to be, I mean, statistically, he wasn't horrible last year for Denver. He wasn't great.
Wasn't great.
Just, I don't know how they get there. I don't know how they get there. You've got me into it's this tough. Receiver idea, by the way, for looking around the league. I think Hodgins actually makes a lot of sense.
Hodgins makes, just from them knowing him.
They know him. He's big. He can block. He is maybe gettable because the Giants have six other pretty well-known receivers. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. Nate is in. Let's go back to the phones. Brad in East Aurora is next. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. I'm happy with the Keon Coleman pick, but I did think A.D. Mitchell was a better prospect. And correct me if I'm wrong, the Bills could have drafted Keon Coleman and A.D. Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Didn't they trade back that second-round pick and A.D. Mitchell in the 50s?
They would have had to move back up for him, but it wouldn't have been that many spots.
Did they move down for Cole Bishop?
I thought they moved down for Cole Bishop.
Did they? They might have. I can't remember the
exact.
I
don't remember either. But, right, like they weren't that far away. They could have moved up and got Mitchell, I guess, also. It's a good – go ahead, Brad.
Go ahead. No, I thought they've proven to pick, you know, the same position, two picks in a row with defensive end. In 2021, why not do it with wide receiver this year? Especially how starved our wide receiver corps is.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Like, that was some of the disappointment, I think, of the draft weekend. It wasn't just that Coleman was the one they picked. It was, I think, I wanted to draft two.
Yeah, you wanted to see multiple.
And you know who's done that? New England. And I'm not going to start a point here of telling you I'd rather be New England at wide receiver, because actually, I think they might be one of the worst in the league. But they drafted two. They drafted Jalen Polk, four picks after the Bills took Coleman.
Yep.
And then they took another swing at a fourth-round pick in Javon Baker, who actually, if you're following some of the beat reporters in New England, Baker's maybe been their best receiver in camp.
Yeah.
So they took another flyer,
by the way.
And maybe they're going to get paid off for him. Baker, there were a lot of Baker fans going into the
weekend. I was a Baker fan.
Yeah. So I don't know. You're taking a Johnny Wilson, by the way, who was a teammate of Keon Coleman's of Florida State, like giant 6'7". He's a 6th-round pick. He's been getting first team reps the last 2 weeks at Eagles camp because he's having a really nice offseason. Just, you know, take a second flyer on another rookie. Do the Bills consider Tyrell Shavers that a little bit though?
Maybe.
Like,
but
they didn't draft
here.
Him, but and he was here. But if they liked him and they thought, well, this is a guy that's going to compete for a bottom-end roster spot, we don't need to draft a 5th-round receiver. We think Shavers is almost the same as that. Maybe. But right now, they're looking thin. Injuries have played into that.
Yeah, injuries definitely have played into it.
And the top end of the roster being what it was at that position has kind of added to that as well. But, yeah, I would have been very happy had they drafted a second one and they didn't. They went for other positions, and maybe they'll be fine if Shavers or one of these other guys can be good depth for them. 803-0550 is the phone number. What else do we have to get to coming up a little bit later on? I want to talk some more fantasy. Someone did point out to me in the update, we mentioned like that I said J.J. McCarthy's the only rookie, first-round rookie, that's not going to start because he's hurt. There is another one that I forget about all the time. I'm sure a lot of people forget all the time. Michael Penix Jr. was a top-10 pick.
Yeah.
Do you see what's going on with him?
They haven't played him. They're not playing him.
What is going on? Isn't that weird?
Yes. You would think because he's not going to get reps this year. That you'd
he's
want
not going to play
it,
in the regular season.
You would want to get him as many reps in game situations right now.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Could that be something more, or do you think that's just them being weird?
I think they're being weird.
All right. They're not planning to, like... Is Kirk Cousins might hate the Falcons already.
He might.
Because Cousins, he really hated that they drafted Penix, because that's part of the reason he left Minnesota. And then this week, we learned that the Falcons put out this birthday playlist, Kirk Cousins playlist, and then Cousins reached out to Kyle Brandt yesterday and said, I did not make that playlist.
That's weird.
They guessed at what songs he likes and then put it out there as his playlist. He's like, I didn't make this playlist. So weird relationship the Falcons and Kirk Cousins do have. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR. Time for the pick of the week. Pick of the week from Riverfront is a 2016 Chevy Cruze Limited. For all you parents out there, or if you need a new whip for school, this is a huge Riverfront back-to-school special. Check it out now, riverfrontautosales.com, or call Marty Sr. or Marty Jr. at 886-1626. Again, it's 886-1626. Pick of the week, Florida State, Georgia Tech.
Football.
Football. Back. I mean, I am as excited as the next guy for Premier League to be back in full swing, but we already had a week of the Premier League. College football.
Football's
actually, I got two picks.
Real,
a week.
It's real back.
Two games I'm very pumped for. That game I think is at 3 in Dublin, Ireland. I love that series, by the way. So Georgia Tech and Florida State. It's like a 10-point spread. So you might actually have a really good game. And then of course, got to go with my Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. The 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time staple. That is Hawaii against Delaware State.
Hell yes.
Let's go.
Never been more excited out there for that kind of game.
Let's go. 37, minus 37 and a half. Hawaii. R.I.P. Colt Brennan, by the way. I saw all the Hawaii players, or maybe it was just a couple of them, did their hair like Colt Brennan.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the OGs for me. He's like probably one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up.
Yeah, he was, oh my God, he was insane. Did they make a BCS bowl that one year with him?
I think they did.
They had a year or two
with
where
June
they were
Jones.
Unbelievable.
June Jones was the coach.
June Jones. Right.
Yep.
Time out here. We'll get to our Building the Bills segment in the next hour. There's some business stuff. Business of the Bills, Building the Bills. There's some business stuff in the NFL this week that's going to be really like private equity. Ownership change in the bill. There was reporting about the Bills a month ago that they're looking. So we'll get into some of that. Preseason game number 3, Saturday against Carolina. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.